I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. The San Luis Obispo Symphony season is in full swing with orchestra concerts, family outreach, education programs, and the Youth Symphony. And with me to talk about the symphony's efforts is music director and conductor of the San Luis Obispo Symphony, Michael Novak.
Hi, Marisa. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome, Mike.
Always great to be here. Thank you.
You're getting ready for an orchestra concert in the Cohan Center that's coming up weekend after next. It's on March 14th, and it's a subscriber's choice concert. And I must say, the program looks great. What I'd like to know is how you come up with a cohesive program that is by request.
Well, that was the trick. So this started probably almost a year ago when we came up with the idea of offering a concert to our subscribers. Having been coming to concerts for so many years, I knew that there were pieces they were dying to hear, but either I hadn't heard from them or, you know, they just kept hoping. So around the end of spring last year, we put out some notice that we were looking for pieces for the Subscriber's Choice concert. And that was open to the general public. It didn't have to be a subscriber. So I accumulated hundreds of pieces of music, and I put them in lists. Overtures, mm-hmm. concert pieces or tone poems or incidental music, and then I put symphonies. Mm-hmm. I didn't put concertos because I didn't really have a soloist lined up for this program, and I didn't want to force a piece upon a soloist. And then I came with a list of the top six overtures and the top 10 incidental music or tone poems, and then the top 8 to 12 symphonies. And mm-hmm. I put those as a list, which went out to the subscribers in over the summer, and they had through November, the end of November, to vote. And the winners are
Bernstein. You got the Candide Overture.
Now that was sort of a surprise to me because it went against William Tell. It went against the Finkelschke Overture, Hebrides Overture, which got a lot of votes. Mm-hmm. Marriage of Figaro was on there. 1812 Overture was on there. And then when the Bernstein one, I thought, wow, that's crazy. I didn't expect that one.
Well, it's so fun.
It is. It's a great way to open a concert.
It's a rollicking piece. Is it hard to play?
It's fairly hard to play because he's, well, at the tempo he wrote it, it's really hard to play. We'll play it a little under the tempo he wrote it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you ever listen to the old recordings of the New York Philharmonic with Bernstein, it's just joyous and a great way to open a concert.
And then you've got one of the best beloved American orchestral works by Aaron Copland, and that's Appalachian Spring.
One of my favorites, if not my favorite piece growing up. I listened to that many, many times. It became just sort of my comfort zone piece when I was in high school and, you know, having troubles dealing with the growing pains of growing up. So I come home, listen to Appalachian Spring and felt great about it and still do. The thing, you know, it's very interesting. I never knew this till recently. I always thought it was Appalachian Spring time. Huh. But it's actually talking about a body of water and coming in the mountains. I just read about it recently in Aaron Copland's comments about the piece.
What do you think is so appealing about that work?
Well, it's so American. And all parts of it are just so interesting and comforting. It's a real comfort food piece. As, you know, it helped me back when I was young. And I think it's still very enjoyable. It reminds us of America that we want us to be part of. Whether that place really existed or not, we don't know, but in our minds, in our hearts, we think it's the place that's us. When we talk about America, we talk about, you know, people working together to build a barn so that people can live in their house, a farmhouse, and, you know, being out there and people helping each other and, you know, all those good American values.
And somehow Copland evokes all of this musically.
Yeah, beautifully. And then he brings in the Shaker tune, Simple Gifts, and puts that in there as sort of part of this wonderful, maybe the religious background of our country. It's interesting, when I was reading up on Aaron Copland and the Shaker tune, the piece takes place in Pennsylvania. He didn't know that the Shakers weren't in Pennsylvania. But he just all put it together, and he said, I guess I should have done a little bit more research.
Well, I think all of us are glad that he didn't.
That's
because
true.
It's such a great tune.
Oh, no, it's fabulous. No, it works out so beautifully, and that's the great thing about it. And then when he finally makes the big production of the entire orchestra at the culmination of it, it's just so powerful. And then afterwards, just shortly after that, he writes in the music, there's a little hymn that comes in, and he writes like a prayer in the music. So it's powerful and then just very quiet and simple again. We go back to that introspective American, which is very interesting for Aaron Copland because he's a New York guy. Mm-hmm. And he was very cosmopolitan, so mm-hmm. maybe this was part of his desire too, but in truth, it was because of his long-standing relationship with Martha Graham and being awarded the commission by Elizabeth Sprague Coolidge to write the piece.
Because this is a piece for ballet.
It is, a ballet for Martha.
So the final piece in this concert coming up weekend after next on March 14th is an exciting one. It's the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony.
Right, and we can do it now because we have an organ. I've been harassed for years by concert goers saying, please, please, please do this work. And I kept saying, gosh, we don't have an organ. And now there's no excuse not to do it. We have the wonderful Forbes organ, and it was the top voted symphony on the list. I thought the New World Symphony would get it, and it came close, but the Organ Symphony got most of the votes, which is kind of wonderful because it's a piece I have not conducted before. And I've never played it before. People are passionate about that piece. People in the orchestra come up and say, I'm so glad we're doing it because I've been wanting to do it for so long and I love that work. You know, it's interesting because it's called the Organ Symphony. One would expect that the organ has a big presence in it. It's not really
much. It's like
that at
the end.
Well, there are a couple of places in the second movement and in the last movement where it comes in. Mm-hmm. It's mostly textural mm-hmm. for a while, but it's just to give that presence of sound that really overwhelms the space, and when you hear that in conjunction with the live symphony orchestra, it just really shakes the rafters. Paul Woodring will be our organ soloist for this performance.
And Paul Woodring is such a fixture on the Central Coast as a keyboardist, playing many different kinds of keyboards.
That's true.
He will be playing the Forbes pipe organ.
Absolutely.
At the Cohan.
Looking forward to that.
That work has a theme that many people will recognize because of the movie Babe.
Right.
The song that the farmer sings to the pig. And it seems to me, just from conversation with people, that they discovered that work after the movie Babe, because that tune is so beautiful and recognizable.
That's what happens with classical music. You go to find out what it is, whether it's Bugs Bunny or something in a movie. If it's great music, people will track it down.
So what are the sections of the Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony that are most appealing to you?
Well, I'm like everybody else. I like the last part of it, the finale, because it has so much power to it. It's also got a lot of kind of tribute to Bach and Mendelssohn and composers that came before Saint-Saëns. The combination of the organ and the strings and the orchestra, counterpoint and fugal lines, it just has sort of a majesty about it, and I think that's what's exciting. It's really well written. It really grabs you. It's magnificent at the end. It'll be a moment for us.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell with you, and my guest today is Michael Novak, who's the conductor and music director of the San Luis Obispo Symphony. We've been talking about the concert coming up in the Cohan Center on March 14th, which is the Subscriber's Choice Concert featuring music of Bernstein, Copland, and Saint-Saëns. If someone wants to get involved with the San Luis Obispo Symphony or go to a concert or learn more about the education programs, how does one do that?
Well, I would suggest you start by going to our website and seeing what the kinds of things we do there are.
And that address is slowsymphony.com if you want more details about the San Luis Obispo Symphony. I'm Marisa Waddell for Issues and Ideas. Thank you so much, Michael Novak, for being with us this afternoon.
What a pleasure. Thank you.